tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCPFM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Sam, true story. I need Upcountry Fiber in my neighborhood, and I need them now. They're coming. They're laying down a high-speed fiber optic cable everywhere, all day, every day. I need them to come to my neighborhood, need it quickly. Here's what I'm telling you, Sam. That for the sixth time in the last week, the people that I got my new internet from are coming to fix it. You heard me right. They came last Wednesday. Here's the whole story, the whole thing. I've had it about 5 weeks. The cable was above ground. It worked fine. They buried the cable. Didn't go right. They buried it last Wednesday. Ever since then, it's been messed up. I call. They come out on Friday. They fix it. Guy leaves. 15 minutes later, he says, man, call me if it messes up again. And it messes up. And they came out four different times. They came out and reburied the cable, and it still doesn't work. I come home every time now, and my internet is slow, or it's not working, and it's been a disaster. Called them out yesterday. They're coming at between 1 and 3 o'clock today for the sixth time in a week. They're coming to my house and trying to fix it. Upcountry Fiber, that doesn't happen. Come on, Upcountry Fiber. Come over to Clemson. Come over in my neighborhood in Clemson. For a stronger connection, the very best you can have is Upcountry Fiber, upcountryfiber.com. The fastest high-speed internet available. You're going to absolutely love my great friends at upcountryfiber.com. All right. Texter asked, Mickey, what sandwiches can you have bad bread on? Well, there's a couple, Sam. Again, if you're doing toast, you don't need brand new fresh white bread. If you're doing grilled cheeses or anything like a patty, you don't need fresh bread. To be honest with you, you could put like peanut butter bananas, peanut butter mayonnaise and bananas, peanut butter and jelly on, you know, fairly old bread maybe. But if you're doing like tomato sandwiches, I got to have fresh white bread. If I'm doing egg salad, I got to have fresh white bread. I don't know what it is, but there's some things that the bread is not the factor that it is when you're doing, say, egg salad or pimento cheese, for that matter. We have two more games left. We'll take a phone call or two and then get to our text line even more. And then I want to talk about the psychology of what the seasons look like for Clemson, South Carolina, and Georgia with a win this weekend and what they're like with a loss. So, Sam, two more. What do we have over there?
Let us start with a game that I think should be a little bit wider of a spread, LSU and Florida.
All right.
LSU is a 6.5-point favorite at home. I don't think Florida is 6.5 points within range of LSU on the road. I really don't. I think this is probably 10 or something to me. LSU, I think, is far better. I understand they didn't look great last week. But Florida, man, I'm just not seeing it. I'm seeing a firing in their future, but I'm not seeing a world in which they win this football game on the road. And I think LSU is going to beat them pretty soundly based off of what we saw, especially in the trenches, week one against Clemson. I'm kind of throwing out last week because I don't know what to do with games against lesser opponents coming off of a big one. That's kind of an obvious spot where you can let your guard down a little bit as a post-hype situation where you're pumped up and you're ready to go, and then you come out and you lay a dud against a bad team right after that. I'm going off of what I saw week one with LSU, and that is they're very difficult to beat in the trenches, and they did that on the road. So I think at home, they're in a much better spot to capitalize here against Florida and bounce back from a subpar outing last time.
Totally agree. The only chance Florida has is to rally the troops and save the job. They did that last year. That was the card they played last year when they won down in Gainesville.
Can you play it twice?
No. And they've not won down in Baton Rouge since 2016. So LSU's been pretty dominant in this series, winning five of the last six. LSU's a better team. LSU's at home. LSU has a better quarterback. LSU has a better coach. In the end, this I am surprised by this spread. I think LSU's much better than Florida.
LSU did not necessarily execute on the offensive side of the ball against La Tech last week. They had 365 yards of total offense, but couldn't capitalize once they got into the red zone.
Yeah.
They kicked a bunch of
pieces
field goals.
Pieces are there, though, and it will take them some time. Pieces are there. That wide receiver core is special.
LSU's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
The offensive line still has some issues, but that wide receiver core has got some special players in it.
This LSU-Florida game has led to some shenanigans in recent years.
Shoe game.
I was going to say Marco Wilson throwing a shoe and blowing Florida's chances at anything.
Yeah.
Cade York hitting a 60-yard field goal in the haze of the smoke.
Didn't have the spit last week from Florida.
Yeah, it's always something.
Let me ask you something. How do you watch Jalen Carter on a Thursday night get ejected for spit, and then you decide, you know what, on Saturday, I think I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing?
Florida?
Can
we sum it down
seriously,
to just Florida?
Seriously, Sam. Let me ask you this. You're driving down the road, and you see you're in a 55 and you're driving 67 in a 55, and then you see someone pulled over.
You lay off the gas a little bit.
Right. Right. They're giving you the warning, man. They say, hey, I'm just pulling people over right here.
And I'm probably not alone.
Right. So you slow down a little bit. When you watch Jalen Carter spit on somebody, 2 days later, you're in a big national televised game and you choose to spit on someone? Come on, man. Come on. Anyway.
Thank goodness for Todd Golden down there.
Yeah.
That leads us to our final game here, so we're in agreement on that one. I think LSU is going to win that game by 10-plus points.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. That game always is weird, even though LSU always wins it. Something weird always happens. Texas A&M at Notre Dame. 8 versus 16. Texas A&M is in one of my least favorite spots to try and pick from, which is they've played two bad teams and not looked ridiculously good or bad in either direction against either. They've given up 20-plus points to two teams they probably don't want to be doing that against. UTSA, not a bad team at all, not by any means. Utah State, lesser than that, but again, you don't want to be giving up 22 to Utah State. Notre Dame is 0-1. They're coming off of a bye, and their one showing so far was a three-point loss on the road down in Miami. This is one where I really don't have any idea. This is going to be a good game, I will say that. Notre Dame is a 6.5-point favorite. It feels like Texas A&M can win this if they control the trenches. You're still getting C.J. Carr early on here in his career before I think by week 6 or 7 Notre Dame will be locked in. But I don't know what to do here, and I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are.
I know what exactly to do here. Take Notre Dame. Marshall Reed is gotten off to a good start. 7 touchdowns, no picks. He won't do this against Notre Dame. The other thing is they've not run it great in the last 2 weeks. And that's from A&M's standpoint. They're averaging less than 200 yards a game rushing against San Antonio and Utah State. With that said, Notre Dame, a almost back against the wall game. They can't go 0-2. The rest of the schedule is very, very doable, except for when Southern Cal, because Southern Cal is going to get on fire here. With that said, Carr looked okay. The one thing I can say about Notre Dame is I did not understand the game plan against Miami. I guess they figured they're just not going to be able to run the ball because there's no reason in the world that Jeremiah Love had 10 carries. I think he had 4 in the first half and 6 in the second half. You got to find a way to get Jeremiah Love the football. I think they run the football. I think C.J. Carr has a coming out party a little bit, and I think Notre Dame covers 6.5. What do we have it on our pick and pool? 6.5 now. What do we have in a pool?
We have it at 6.5.
Right.
I don't know where it's at right now. I think it's still at 6.5, so it hasn't moved for us.
Notre Dame wins that one in South Bend.
I sent in Notre Dame. Again, I'm going off.
Notre Dame won last year in College Station, and they're going to win at home this week.
I just think Jeremiah Love's too good, and they're going to run the ball for a lot of yards.
Got to give it to him, though.
And Texas, you have to give him the ball, but against Texas A&M, where you're going to try and win, you want to try and win in the trenches here. You want to try and establish this early on. Because we talked all offseason about Texas A&M, and if they're going to take that step forward, A, they need Marcel Reed to throw the ball and figure out how to throw the ball accurately. I don't know. We don't know yet. No, probably not. But the strength of the team would be that the offensive defensive lines. If you can beat Texas A&M at their own game with that and get Love going early on, at home especially, puts you in a pretty good spot. I wasn't unimpressed by Notre Dame in week one against Miami. I felt that the fact that they were in that game at the end there is pretty solid. It's going to take a little while for them with a new quarterback to come in and figure things out this year. They looked fine. They stayed in that game until the last minute. And I think they win this one. Do they cover 6.5, though, is my concern. I don't know. I think these two teams, as of now, are relatively evenly matched, and I would give the slight edge to Notre Dame because they are playing at home.
All right, let me get a couple here. Text makes a good point. Who takes a bye week on week two? Yeah, that didn't work out great. And if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, you know, you had the big Miami game. Now you got a big A&M game. Again, Sam and I have both talked about Southern Cal an awful lot. Are you still, Sam, are you buying Southern Cal? Because I am.
I am cautiously buying them again, but I bought them last year, and they won like six games.
The schedule can be a little more difficult than you think, than we thought originally. They have Purdue next week. Sorry, Sam. They have at Arkansas. You know, if Arkansas looks good Saturday night, going into Arkansas might be a test. Boise State didn't look like the test because of what we saw in week one. NC State, that game's at home. State's not going up there and winning. Southern Cal's at home. Again, that's the big one to me. But then you get at Boston College, Navy, at Pitt, Syracuse, and at Stanford. If they get to November with only one or two losses, they're in the college football playoffs. But I'm just telling you that Southern Cal game. And so quickly, Sam, let me ask you this. By the way, I've never seen this before on FPI. I don't believe in FPI. I don't buy anything of it. But I've never seen this before, the reason I mention it. On the matchup predicted right now between Notre Dame and Southern Cal, 50.0.
I was going to say Notre Dame will probably – that game's at Notre Dame, right?
Yes.
I was going to say Notre Dame's going to be favored in every game down the rest of the season.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
So, I just – I got to see it. I got to see it with a new QB. I got to see it with a lot of new faces on that team. You return a lot of important guys in important places. But I need to see it. I am a few weeks early. I want to see USC win a couple games before we get to that point.
Is there a chance that Notre Dame's undefeated going to Southern Cal game? Not undefeated, but goes, you know, wins out between now and then?
Okay. I mean, looking at the schedule, I would imagine they want to be.
Let me give you Southern Cal. 2-0 so far. At Purdue this week, you know, I've heard all the talk about Barry O. We'll see.
Tricky Boilers, yeah, 21.5. I don't know.
You and I both like Michigan State, a lot more people, but that game's in the Coliseum.
I think Southern Cal wins it.
At Illinois, they look good enforcing turnovers against Duke.
That could be a playoff game.
Could be.
For these two teams.
They get Michigan at home. I don't believe in Michigan at all.
I think they'll win that game.
Could you be talking about two top 10 teams in South Bend on October 18th?
Something around there, yeah.
Yeah.
You could very easily be talking about two teams trying to make a playoff push now, middle of the year,
when those two
teams face off. I just don't know yet with either of them. It's so
totally
early.
Agree.
We need to see more of CJ Carr. I think he'll be more acclimated by then, and I was encouraged by enough of what I saw. I was encouraged by his improv ability against Miami to keep that game in reach and do what he needed to do to win. They need to give Jeremiah Love the ball 25 times a game, I think. You got a horse like that in your backfield, use him. Give him the rock.
SC Noel says, why do we think LSU is so good and Bama so bad? Is it because they beat Clemson team that struggled with Troy? Meanwhile, Alabama gets beat by FSU, and the narrative is Bama's bad. Maybe FSU is that good. Yeah, I don't think we're – again, your SC Noel, let me talk a little bit about, like, narratives and trying to move things around. Number one, when we say Alabama's bad, we don't mean because they got beat by Florida State. And we said nothing about Florida State when we say Alabama's bad.
We actually like Florida State quite a bit, you and
right.
I.
Right. But what we're saying is Alabama compared to Alabama. We're saying Alabama is a shell of itself. And that is nothing with Florida State. What that means is that Alabama, comparing to all those Nick Saban teams, we said, again, what we do this too often. We say one thing, but everybody like takes it to another level. No one said anything about Florida State. We've been very high on Florida State. So the fact that we don't like Alabama compared to past Alabama teams has nothing to do with anything we feel about Florida State. So don't feel like Kirby Smart or like Dan Lanning and you're going to take this and run with it. Oh, now you've disrespected my Seminoles. No. We've been very, very complimentary Seminoles. Matter of fact, in the preseason, we were among the few people who actually thought that Florida State was going to win the game.
Yeah, this station was very pro-Florida State going into that game. I think every host had Florida State winning that game outright.
Yes.
Or at least covering at a minimum. You, me, Walton, Faxon had them winning for sure.
Right.
We like Florida State quite a bit. Is it a national championship team? No, probably not. But
right.
They're good. I don't think we're at all high on Clemson in any way right now. LSU's got a ton of talent, and they already have beaten a very solid, at least on paper, team. So that kind of backs up. I think out of the four, we're the lowest on Alabama. I'd say that.
I agree. Let me get Hal for a break. 654 Roy. Hal, thanks for hanging on, man. Hope you're having a good morning.
I don't know if I heard you brought that up about that incident over at the baseball stadium up in Philadelphia almost a week ago when that lady came over and tried to start something with that guy and all that.
Here's the thing, Hal. Baseball games are about taking your kid to the game, man. Let the kid have the foul balls. You're an adult. You don't need foul balls. What are you going to do with your foul ball? Like, take the thing to the kid. Let the kid do it. This is about kids and enjoying their time and getting them back and enjoying a great game of baseball. The kid's got his gloves and all. Let the kid have a foul ball, man. I don't know. This lady was correctly called out for it. The dad did the right thing by going to get his son a baseball. There's nothing better. My son does this too. There's nothing better than getting a foul ball in a baseball game and be able to give your kid a baseball. That's just, and Hal, it's a good point, man. I got to get to break. Sorry about that. It's a good point, man. Like, let the kids. This game's not about you. This game's about the kids in the stands. Hey, Tiger Sports Shop, TigerSports.com. Love Tiger Sports and TigerSports.com. Here's the bottom line is that College Avenue, Tiger Boulevard, or Tiger Sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The collection's for 50 years now. Get in touch with them. You're going to need to wear orange in Atlanta this weekend. If you had white or purple on, you don't want to do that. You're going to stand out with the white outsect. That's going to be interesting looking in the stands, how many Tiger fans we'll see there. Do that in a hot Atlanta, by stopping by Tiger Sports at TigerSports.com. They do a terrific job, and all those big collections are amazing. Short break. We'll come back. What does a win or a loss mean for our three teams and the rest of the season? We'll talk about it with Sam when you come back after this.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
It's official, Jazz on the Alley, every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca. It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely free. It's outside dining and great music. We get started early at 5:30 with a happy hour. Here's a few sounds of some of these fabulous artists. And we get ready for a great show, 7 till 9, with the main acts. We got some great lineups for you right here. Here's just a few of the artists. Change, change, change. Yeah, you and your friends, along with 3,000 of your closest friends, will be here every Thursday night right here on Ramcat Alley in Townville Street. It's Jazz on the Alley, voted best event of the year. Come on out, bring your chairs just in case you need them, and have fun. And every Thursday, we'll see you for a little jazz.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMale.com.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Cigars, cigars, cigars. Tobacco Plus in Greer is home to South Carolina's largest humidor, featuring the finest selection of premium hand-rolled cigars in the state, and at the very best prices, too. And select a smooth, delicious Monte Cristo, Rocky Patel or Cohiba, and relax on your golf outing. Swing by Tobacco Plus in Greer, South Carolina's number one cigar store, located at Exit 60 off Interstate 85. Also serving Georgia and North Carolina with nationwide shipping.
Swing by Bojangles and get two sausage and egg biscuits for $5. Double the protein and the flavor. Order in the app or head to Bojangles today. It's bow time.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit tigermovinggreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Ready? Ready! Saturdays in the South start right here with college football talk all summer long on The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.
Patterson Tax Service wants to do your taxes for you. PATTX.com, PatTax.com. If you're a small business right now, here's what you chances are: you got somebody in there might not be trained to do it. You might be losing money, or you're doing it yourself. Your payroll, your bookkeeping, your accounting, all the tracking. They do an unbelievable job of all that, and the payroll services. So don't spend all day at the end of the month trying to do all the payroll stuff. Let them take care of all this for you. They do that. They do the experience guidance with LLC creation and preparation for corporate nonprofit and estate and tax and trust returns. They do the assets and liabilities for monthly tracking. They do a great job of all that for you. On top of the tax preparation and tax strategies and financial guidance, they're going to give you a much better chance in a financial world because of their expertise. Take advantage of it. PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. All right, here we go, Sam. What I want to do in this segment is crucial games for Clemson, Georgia, and South Carolina coming up. Let's begin with the Gamecocks. I didn't think, when you looked at the season, first, I didn't think they would struggle the way they struggled through. And I know they're 2-0, but you know, let's admit it, the offense hadn't looked all that great so far. And then the second side of it is, I didn't think Vanderbilt would look as good as they looked in the second half last week. I didn't think the Vanderbilt game would be one of the key games of the year. And this is a great example. When you look at preseason, you get into the season, teams are different. And now maybe Oklahoma might be better, but Alabama might be worse. You know, so you got all that in there. All right. With that said, Sam, let's consider a win first for South Carolina. What we're going to do is we're going to say if they win, they could be this. If they lose, they could be this. So let's play win game for South Carolina. And to start it off, if they win Saturday night against Vanderbilt, assuming that confidence grows from that and they get better. All right. Would they win? The next week they go to Missouri.
Yikes. I think they're going to lose that game.
I do too. Kentucky at home.
They'll beat Kentucky.
Agreed.
At I think LSU. Either way. I would say 1-1 in these two games, regardless of outcomes.
All right. At LSU.
I think that's a loss right now.
I would agree. Oklahoma at home.
I still think they can beat Oklahoma at home.
I would agree, especially with a win. Alabama at home.
I think they can beat Alabama at home.
I would agree. At Ole Miss.
This is your swing game in this hypothetical right now. I think they win it.
All right. I'm going to go with a...
If we're going with this is in the world where they're winning this game this weekend.
All right. I will go with a win as well with that one. At A&M.
Sure. Give them a win, I guess.
I'm going to split Ole Miss and A&M. Give them a loss. Coastal at home is a win.
I think they'll win that
and
game.
And then Clemson at home.
I still think Clemson locks in and wins that game by the end of the year.
All right. I'm going to say if they win, the South Carolina wins that one. So what we both have here is that the Gamecocks win this weekend, they're going 9-3, and it's right there on the bubble.
That's kind of where I had them in the preseason. All right. It's a lot hinging on these next 2 weeks against two very upstart SEC teams.
All right. Now, let's say they don't look good and they lose Saturday night to Vanderbilt.
How bad are we talking here in this odd hypothetical that we're
doing? They lose by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, they get blasted. Okay.
All right. Ready?
Considering that's at home, that's a blasting. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. At Missouri?
I still think they're going to lose.
I do too. Kentucky at home?
I still think they'll win that game.
All right. At LSU?
Loss.
Agreed. Oklahoma?
I guess a loss.
Yeah. Alabama at home?
Still think they'll beat Alabama.
I'm going to go loss there. At Ole Miss.
Still think they can win that game. I'll split them between Ole Miss and Texas A&M.
All right. So you give them one loss there. I'll split those as well. Coastal.
Win.
And then Clemson. Now you're
if
saying,
the offense falls, I said they were going to lose anyway. So.
All right. So here's the difference, Sam. You've got them at 6-6. I got them at 5-7. 9-3 to 5-7. Yeah, you had well, that's a Vanderbilt loss, too. So Vanderbilt Missouri, LSU.
Ole Miss, Clemson.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to overreact off one game, but if they lose to Vanderbilt this weekend, the schedule's very difficult. This is one of the games on the schedule. And it's not to say if they lose to Vanderbilt, they can't turn things around down the stretch, but it's the same thing for a lot of teams where this is one on the schedule in the SEC where you mark this down as a game you need to win, and you can't have it at the end of the year because you still have to beat LSU and Oklahoma and Alabama, who aren't great but still good. You've got a stretch of 5 straight ranked teams in there, and I think it's 8 out of 10 to close the year or something.
And confidence, too. But besides that, like, can you have a good year and lose to Vanderbilt this early in the season, be 0-1 in the SEC, and, you know?
I mean, Bama never recovered from it last year.
Right.
A lot of teams. You just, in the SEC, with the nature of how good this league is, that is one that you can't take.
You can't lose to Vanderbilt.
A good Vanderbilt team is still bottom middle of the conference.
9-3 if they win. If they lose, 5-7 or 6-6. All right, let's do Georgia.
I think they could still get, if they lose, I still think they could get like 7 wins, but what does that do for you?
Nothing.
So.
Nothing. All right, here we go. Georgia. Assuming Georgia wins by 10 on Saturday.
Okay.
Open date, then Alabama at home.
I think they're going to win that game regardless of outcome here.
I agree. Kentucky at home.
Same for that.
At Auburn.
I think they're going to win that game.
Ole Miss at home.
At home, I'll take them to win this as a revenge game here.
Florida and Jacksonville.
I think they're going to beat them.
At Mississippi State.
I think they're going to beat them.
Texas at home.
This game is funky to me. I'm not sure this team's. I'm looking at it right now. I don't think they're going to lose a game. I think they lose to either Georgia Tech or Texas.
So you say they lose one game.
I'm sticking with what I thought. Even if they lose to this Tennessee team this weekend, I still think it's a 1 or 2 loss football team.
All right. So Tennessee, you're thinking the same about Georgia no matter what.
I mean, if they come out and lose by 25 to Tennessee this weekend and they can't move the football, I just don't see that happening.
Here's what I'm telling you. I'm going different. So you're saying 11-1, win or lose this weekend for Georgia?
I think 10-2.
Okay.
Or 11-1 is what this Georgia team's going to be.
All right, let me give you this. I'm going to go, if they lose to Tennessee, that's obviously one loss. I think they'll beat Alabama. I think they'll beat Kentucky. I'm not sure they beat Auburn on the road or Ole Miss at home. I'm going to split those games.
I'm still not all the way there on Auburn.
Florida, they'll win. At Mississippi State, they'll win. I've got them a loss with Texas then, or split Texas and Georgia Tech. So I got them 9-3. So I got them at 12-0 if they win this weekend, or 9-3 if they lose. It's a massive difference. Fighting for the playoff lives at 9-3 compared to 12-0, and you're in no matter what you do in the conference championship game.
I don't know. With their schedule the way it is, considering it's an SEC schedule, you're avoiding a couple teams here. You're still getting Texas, but I'm not putting too much stock into a week 3 game for them where they have a really good run defense. I think they're going to have a very good defense, period, this year. And I think, again, with a first-year starting quarterback, it's going to take time to acclimate, and I expect them to be better by quite a bit at the end of the year than they are at the beginning. I would expect by that Auburn game, this team is firing on a lot of their cylinders. If not
crazy things happen in Jordan-Hare, but not in a Georgia Auburn game. It's an Alabama Auburn game.
You're just not going to get me to bet against Kirby Smart against Tennessee.
All right. Now Clemson. Let's already with one loss. Let's assume first the win at Georgia Tech. So then you have Syracuse at home.
If they don't beat Syracuse either way, things are bad.
So you say win or lose?
Yeah, it's a win.
Okay. At North Carolina?
I think they're going to win that game.
At Boston College?
That's not a gimme right now, I don't think, but it's a win.
SMU?
Still think they'll beat SMU.
Duke at home?
SMU can't stop anybody. I think Duke is a little bit worse than I thought they'd be. I'll give them a win. This is assuming a win, right?
Well, yeah, assuming a win against Georgia Tech. Florida State at home?
That's a tricky game, but it's at home. I like it at home.
At Louisville?
I guess I probably lean loss between Florida State, Louisville, or South Carolina. I think they lose one of those three.
Okay, so in South Carolina, say, all right. I've got them winning out. So you got them 10-2, and that's a playoff team. I've got them 11-1. Now, if they lose to Georgia Tech this weekend,
they're in trouble.
All right, here we go.
You don't have the same buffer that you do in the SEC. You
Syracuse at home?
Win.
I agree. At North Carolina?
I think they're still going to win these three games here.
And at Boston College. SMU at home?
I think they're still going to win that one.
Duke at home?
I think they probably still beat Duke at home.
Florida State at home?
I think they add another loss here with a loss to Georgia Tech this week. I think they lose to two of Florida State, Louisville, and South Carolina.
So
that sets me at 9, or does that set me at 8?
So you lose to LSU, Georgia Tech, and then two of those. That's 8-4. I'd agree with you, 8-4.
I don't think they have the luxury of an SEC schedule to back up on here, that if they lose this game, the same way South Carolina does not need to lose to Vanderbilt. They can't lose that game, but they have plenty of chances to pad an at-large at like 10-2 if they correct things very cleanly. Clemson doesn't have that. Georgia has that. There are plenty of teams on that schedule. Who are you padding your resume against down the stretch here? Florida State and South Carolina, sure. I think they drop one of those games either way at this rate, if the offense plays the way it has so far this season, and if they don't have some huge offensive revival.
Here's the point. Watch this. I'm taking the extremes, all right? And it won't work out this way, but just the extremes. If Clemson wins this weekend, the we've got 11-1. If they lose, 8-4. That's a three-game difference.
You're out of the playoff. You have no playoff hope if that's the case.
Right. If Georgia wins this weekend, I had them at 12-0. If they lose, I've got them at 9-3. That's a three-game spread difference. If South Carolina wins this weekend, we got them at 9-3. If they lose, I got them at 5-7. That's a four-game difference. We're talking about between us three teams, 10 differences in wins based on what happens this weekend. Obviously, you're adding a loss in there if this weekend or win this weekend. But the rest of the season is so dependent on the momentum, the confidence, what the other teams think about them, all that. Like,
I think you can still very clearly course correct if you're South Carolina, any of the three teams. But if Clemson loses this weekend, they've already got two. Yep. And it's very difficult to make the playoff if you're going to – you have to play perfect football the rest of the way. I mean, you're going to struggle if you lose two games in the first 3 weeks to get through that Duke, Florida State, Louisville, South Carolina stretch at the end of the year where all of those teams are good to varying degrees.
Well, here's the point, too. And I say this because of what we've seen from these teams so far. So, in other words, if Georgia would have came out and looked dominant, if Clemson would have beat LSU and looked good against Troy, if South Carolina looked really good against Virginia Tech and South Carolina State, you can go, well, you know, it's early season loss, they can rebound. I don't think any of these three teams have looked as good as we thought they were going to look so far. A loss this weekend makes it look like, wait a minute, man. Like, we hadn't looked great so far, and we got another loss. It's like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Like, now we're three games in, and we hadn't looked good.
I'm just not worried about Georgia yet. I know you've got concerns. I'm just not going to worry about them until I see them lose to a team that they should – a good team that they would typically beat, and that is exactly what Tennessee is.
Right.
An example of, I think they're going to win the game. I also think they have the most margin for error out of the three teams, A, because they're Georgia, B, because I trust Kirby Smart to right this ship here if he only has one loss going into that Auburn-Ole Miss part of the schedule. Plus, two-loss Georgia is very different than two-loss Clemson in the eyes of the committee at the end of the year. So little bit more room for them to mess up early on in the campaign if they were to drop a game on the road to Tennessee, but I don't think they will.
One thing we did not discuss enough, probably, is what will these schedules look like at the end? Because let's say, what if Tennessee looks really good the rest of the year? Georgia wins, Tennessee looks really good the rest of the year compared to what if Tennessee looks bad? Like, what if Auburn is a much better team, we think? What if Alabama rebounds? Like, right now, I'm not sure Alabama is a I'm not sure it's a great win right now. But what if Alabama rebounds and goes 10-2? You know, like, what if Ole Miss? South Carolina's got Ole Miss, right? Like, what if Ole Miss is
– both of them do. Both teams do.
Yeah, but it's a difference in – or Oklahoma. I'm still not buying Oklahoma as of – yeah, I need to see a couple more wins here. You know, A&M's an example this weekend. So the point through all that is that, you know, how we view these wins and losses depends a lot on you, but it also depends a lot on what these teams do the rest of the year. Like, if Georgia Tech loses to Clemson this weekend but looks good the rest of the year, you know, rebounds and goes like 10-2, well, that's a much better win than if they go 7-5 kind of a thing. So all that is dependent on – I just think that this weekend in one-score spreads, which there won't be a lot of with these two teams that normally wouldn't feel like, that the way they've looked the first 2 weeks, these are huge games, man. Just huge games.
They're huge games, but again, I would stress they're so early still in the season that especially for the two SEC teams that have not lost yet, so much time to get right. It's a little different for Clemson because then you have to go undefeated the rest of the way unless you're going to backdoor yourself in again like last year,
yeah.
Which I don't think anybody wants that to be the preferred path in,
right?
Considering expectations. If it has to be, it has to be. But you have, like I've said a million times, more margin for error to lose down the stretch if you're the other two, if you were to drop this weekend.
All right, short break. We'll come back. I do want to tell you about Carolina Flooring Specialist, 404-8158. Your garage floor can look amazing. Last night, my son was looking great in the garage with his putter. We got a putting mat inside, and he's sitting here, and he's making a bunch of 3 and 4 5-footers in a row. And to be honest with you, I like him being in there. We don't have, I can lay this awesome, fairly expensive putter mat down, and I don't have to worry about, getting oil stains or getting concrete dust all over it. I hadn't talked enough about that. And my daughter's over there. She's got a little dollhouse in there, and she's got a block set she's playing with, and she's sitting on the floor, and I feel fine about it because it's clean. It doesn't have concrete dust. It doesn't have oil or automotive stains. We love it. Carolina Flooring Specialists. Get your garage floor done by the best in the business. 404-8158. 404-8158. One open phone line segment before Paul Strelo, 805, and Roy Philpott at 825. Sam and Mickey, more after this.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Fax and Childers and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Dono Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar. You can feel it in the air. Football is back, and the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1. To play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football? Man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be new? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playandgetterms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
A fan favorite for almost four decades, Tigertown Graphics has been designing and printing t-shirts in downtown Clemson since 1988. Looking for a vintage vibe with a modern twist? Check out our latest collection of classic styles and current concepts. Find us at 360 College Avenue or shop online anytime at TigertownGraphics.com. For 37 years, it's where Tigers get their stripes.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education. and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Homeowners and landscapers, a fescue loan, the guarantee is finally here from topdressing.com. You want a dark green, lush, healthy fescue loan that's the best in the neighborhood? Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com to get the best compost fescue top dressing from your friends at topdressing.com. It's that simple. It's guaranteed. Just call 888-850-1850 and place your order to have a magnificent, beautiful fescue lawn you'll enjoy all year long. Call 888-850-1850 or visit topdressing.com.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
I'm a Tiger fan.
I'm a Gate Cup fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in
technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience, not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
Hey Clemson fans, college football is back, and to celebrate, Engineered Sleep is having a Labor Day mattress sale. Starting Monday, August 25th until September 14th, find some time between football games to make it out to Engineered Sleep. They have brand new products for you to see and huge in-store savings. Engineered Sleep keeps it simple and easy, just like mattress buying should be. You have to check them out on 333 North Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville, across from Krispy Kreme.
Jimmy John's just changed the game. Introducing the Chicken Bacon Ranch, now toasted. Picture this: juicy chicken, crispy bacon, and melty cheese, all drizzled in our rich homestyle ranch, sandwiched between perfectly toasted fresh baked bread. Crunchy, creamy, absolutely irresistible. One bite and you'll taste the difference. Warm, melty perfection that takes flavor to the next level. The Chicken Bacon Ranch, now hot, toasty, and calling your name. Get yours today, only at Jimmy John's.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Get in touch with Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Our great friends at Prime Lending have done my last two mortgages with me. Sam, mortgages can be intimidating. They don't have to be. Go through this process, get three estimates, talk to these people, all three companies you're going to be dealing with or potentially dealing with. You'll make a decision. I promise you, it'll be my friends at Prime Lending. Mark and his team are amazing. It's worth a phone call. See if they can maybe remodel, refinance, maybe buy your next home. Their team is amazing, and the way they structure these loans, you're going to love it. It's Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. Let me get Brady, 654-ROAR. Brady, thanks for hanging on. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right, guys. It's good to hear from you guys. And I just wanted to make two quick points. I won't hold up much of y'all's time. But one point I wanted to make on Clemson football is that, you know, it's very refreshing to hear you guys are still optimistic about the season, because, I mean, I've just been – hearing a lot from what I like to call fair weather Clemson fans that, you know, two or three things don't go right in the season, and then they're writing it off and like, oh, we suck, we do this, we do that, and we need to fire Dabo, we need to do this, which I don't think is very fair. I've been a Clemson fan my entire life. I grew up watching Tommy Bowden and C.J. Spiller and all them. So, I mean, it happens. You have bad seasons and things of that nature, but I'm never going to be like, oh, I don't want to watch anymore. And I really don't think it's fair to be like, oh, we need to fire Dabo, make all these drastic changes, because let's not forget who made us to the point where we expect to be in the national contention every year. Dabo's the one that did that. So to be like, oh, well, we need to get rid of him, we need to get rid of the guy that made us a national contention and to begin with, I don't think that that's fair to do that. And the second point, and then I'll take it off the air, is, you know, a lot of people were like, well, I mean, good God, we struggled against Troy. That's why we're going to have a horrible season. Let's not forget our 2016 national championship team only beat Troy by a touchdown. I just don't think we've seen the Tigers play their best game yet. I'm still very optimistic about season, and I can't wait for that day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brady. Appreciate that. I hope that you're right about it. I keep wanting, and my thing is just show me. Just show me. But hopefully they'll play much better this weekend. Georgia fan bought the SEC card. This is from the 478 area code, which is Georgia. And so here we go on this one. It said, Georgia could have put up 70 on Marshall. They just chose not to. Would that change your mind, Mickey? Well, I'm going to touch on that in a second because, Sam, I'm looking at the game itself, and again, I didn't watch it. This guy did. I'll yield to this. It's in Macon, by the way. But I don't think Georgia could have put up 70 on Marshall. He said, Kirby caught off the dogs while Heupel tries to embarrass people. Heupel runs up the score every year. And he also said that Austin Peay's pretty good, special defense. Austin Peay whipped Middle Tennessee State, which is coached by Derek Mason. See, that's that SEC card you're playing. They're coached by Derek Mason. He coached in the SEC. Well, guess what? Derek Mason sucked at Vanderbilt, and Derek Mason has sucked at Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State, well, they're coached by Derek Mason. Is that supposed to go, oh, well, you're right, they're really good? No, they're 0-2. And hadn't looked good in either game so far. But the idea that you can score 70, Sam, I'm gonna make my case to the court right now. Are you ready? Here's what Georgia did. I don't think Georgia could have put up 70 on Marshall. Let me give you the evidence of this. They come out and score a touchdown. Let me get all drives, by the way. Hold on for a second here. First of all, let me be clear about this. Georgia didn't turn it over. So you can't say, well, turnover stopped us. Georgia didn't have 500 yards offense against Marshall. Remember, Marshall had all brand new players and brand new staff because all Marshall's team went down to Southern Miss. And it's not like, you know, calling off the dogs. Gunnar Stockton played through at least three quarters. I had to go back and look and see when Puglisi came in. But let me give you the drives for them. Georgia scored on the opening drive, and Georgia scored on the second drive. Then so at the end of the first quarter, it's 14-0. Well, I'm going to remind you too, Sam, they scored 45 points. So this guy's saying they could have scored 25 more points, all right? Four plays, 29 yards, punt. Did Georgia call off the dogs in the third drive of the game by punting after four plays? And then they get a turnover. No, punt return maybe. Yeah, punt return. So then it's three plays, 20 yards, touchdown, 21-0. The next drive at 21-0, three plays, minus 4 yards, punt. The next play, four plays, 13 yards, punt. Then they get a field goal right before half. Did Kirby call the dogs off in the first half? Any evidence of that so far, Sam, or not?
I'll let you continue. I would let you plead okay. Your full case.
Okay. In the third quarter, they come out, 75-yard drive, touchdown. The next drive, three plays, 5 yards, punt. The next play, eight plays, 55 yards, touchdown. In the third quarter, it's 38-0. The next drive, starting the fourth quarter, 80-yard touchdown drive. It's 45-0. Georgia gets it two more times the rest of the game. Goes six plays, 16-yard punt, six plays, 18-yard punt. Let's say those are the Puglisi drives. Where's the 25 points coming from? At 45-0, when they got the first team in, it's 45-0, and you've got about 10 minutes to go in the game. They had the ball two more times. Where's 25 coming from? I don't think they could have put up 70, Sam. Call me wrong.
I don't think they were going to put up 70, but at what point does 70 or 40 matter? Like, they won by, like, I just don't think that.
But that's
your
fine.
Overarching point is fine.
My overarching point is, like, sort of 28 against Austin Peay, too. So, but Austin Peay's good, and Derek Mason is a great coach now. I don't know, man. Like, again, if you think Georgia has looked good offensively, then good on you. If you think Georgia has looked super impressive so far, good on you.
So what you're saying is the confidence is growing in Tennessee as the week goes on. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's going to play well this weekend. I think, put it this way. In looking at my expectations in the preseason, I think Tennessee has overperformed what I expected from them. Is that fair?
I guess. I mean, I'm not putting a ton of stock into beating Syracuse because I don't think Syracuse is any good either.
Right, but Syracuse is better than Marshall.
Yeah, but I still think Syracuse is bad. I don't think that's a good football team.
All right, but my point is, would you rather beat Marshall 45-7 or beat Syracuse 70-something? No, 45-26. I don't know. And then they scored 70 next week. Again, neither of these teams have played anybody so far. I get it. But you can't say we could score 70 if we wanted to. Come on, man. Come on.
I think Georgia beats them by 10+.
We'll see. I don't. We'll see.
Should be fun, though.
Yeah, it should be a great
game.
It's
drumming up more intrigue in my eyes for this game that already existed. So.
Oh, yeah. Ted said, haven't you picked Tennessee the last 3 years? Nope. But if that's the way you remember it, UGA troll, knock yourself out. But no, I didn't.
4 out of 5 of the next segment of Georgia's schedule, all ranked teams. Only one that is not is Kentucky. So, should be a fun next month here for Bulldogs fans one way or another.
Well, see, but Georgia fans last year tried to tell me coming out of the Kentucky game, oh, man, Kentucky, that's such a hard place to play. You don't understand. This is the SEC, and we laid an egg up there, but, man, Kentucky's just tough. And then he lost to Alabama. And then, oh, man, Ole Miss, that's just tough. And then, you know, he loses Notre Dame later. So
Kentucky's at the site of a lot of weird football games over the last couple of years is what I'm starting to realize. No matter how bad they are, there's always one or two where they're just where they shouldn't be.
What's funny is, like, Georgia fans on their message boards complain about their offense this year. I complain about it, and they rip me. I'm like, wait a minute, man, that's what y'all are saying. And last year when they looked bad against Kentucky and looked bad against Alabama in the first half and looked bad against Ole Miss, looked bad against Notre Dame, I say it, I get in trouble, they rip me. But yet on their message boards, all of them said, this doesn't look like Georgia. Every Georgia texter or message board guy says, we don't look the same. I said on the show, like, well, you're an idiot. You're a Clemson fan. You're an ACC guy. You don't even know what good football looks like. But they can say it. They can say it. It's like your family. Like, I can talk about my family, but you can't. Because Georgia knew it. Georgia didn't look like Georgia last year against Florida. Georgia knew that if Lagway plays a game, they're in trouble. Georgia didn't look like they looked against Ole Miss. That wasn't Georgia. Georgia didn't look like they looked against Kentucky last year, against Alabama last year, against Notre Dame last year. That didn't look like Georgia. I pointed out, I'm the idiot. They pointed out, it's like, oh, well. See my point?
I do, I suppose. I think their defense is going to be a lot better in a lot of ways than it was last year. So I think that might counter it some. Yeah. I can't make a judgment off of Marshall and Austin Peay.
No.
I can't do it.
No. But that's not my fault.
I'm still operating off of what I thought of Georgia going into the year, and I don't think anything has changed that. Yeah. I think Tennessee has looked impressive, but I also don't think they have done anything overly unexpected of them. I mean, they were, what, an 18 or something point favorite against that? I think they were like a 20 something point favorite or something around there against Syracuse. They did what they were supposed to do in that game, which really was kind of a home game for them with that game being down in the South. I haven't seen anything out of them to jump me there yet.
How did Georgia look against Clemson last year? Nobody said a word about Clemson, pal. We're talking about Georgia. If you think Georgia looked good last year against Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, Ole Miss, and Notre Dame, then we'll just agree to disagree because I didn't think it looked like Georgia. I'm trying to pay a compliment that Georgia football has a standard, and I didn't think you lived up to that standard last year. Sorry, I didn't think Georgia, the preseason number one, should have lost 3 football games last year. And if you thought they should, then fine, knock yourself out. I just didn't think you should.
Gutter Stockton, the phone is ringing. Mickey Plyler is calling. Will you answer the call?
Put it this way. Again, If you think Georgia's standard is three loss, if you think Georgia played good last year and the team lived up their billing last year, just to prove me wrong, then knock yourself out. I was disappointed in Georgia's football season. The preseason number one last year lost three games. I didn't see that coming.
Can't argue that.
No, you can because you're a Georgia Bulldog. Hour number two, Paul Sherrill kicking off after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the...